A connection this hour was made in Providence, Rhode Island. A couple of days ago, small business called Elena's Ale House reopened with outdoor seating only. The formerly empty side yard was suddenly bustling with tables. They had mowed and gotten everything ready there. Spaced appropriately, the tables are, and the menus are disposable. So is the silverware. There's hand sanitizer on every table. Owner Ryan Moran said that businesses, especially restaurants, but all businesses, are trying to find creative ways to get outside, bring customers back, and do it safely while still staying in business. This is the story of America. States and counties reopen, but with various restrictions and limitations. The warm weather offers businesses a chance to get outside, maybe try some new things. A growing body of research indicates that the coronavirus spreads much less in outdoor spaces. Doesn't mean people can't get infected. They certainly can. But it does offer a way to make potential customers a little more comfortable if businesses can figure out new ways of doing things, at least for a little while. This month on Connections and on WXXI TV, we're focused on what it means to responsibly reopen during a pandemic. Tonight at 8 p.m., WXXI is hosting our second live community forum. This time, the subject is reopening the economy. You'll hear from former Lieutenant Governor Bob Duffy, who's been appointed by the governor to lead the reopening efforts in different phases. Dr. Michael Mendoza will be with us tonight at 8 p.m. talking about the health aspects of reopening. County Executive Adam Bello will be with us as well. And here on Connections, we'll be talking to business owners about how they're trying to make you feel good about coming out. Our guests this hour include with me in studio reporter for City Newspaper Gino Finelli, who recently talked to restaurant owners and did some excellent work kind of laying out the different aspects of the challenge there. Welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Evan.
Also with us on the line, Mark Ippolito is the co-founder of Comedy at the Carlson. Mark, welcome to the program. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Hello to Suzanne Hunt, the director of sustainability and a co-owner of Hunt Country Vineyards in the Finger Lakes. Suzanne, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Evan.
And Jenna and Pete Morgani are with us, the owners of Tree Town Cafe. I actually don't know if I have Jenna or Pete or both. I'll just say hi to the Morgantes.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
We're both there.
Welcome. Thanks, everyone. So before we dig into Gino's work on the restaurant side of things, let me just ask our three guests to kind of lay out what they're doing now and maybe what they're able to do, what they're planning, and how it's a little bit different. Mark Ippolito, co-founder of Comedy at the Carlson, we called you up after some of your customers said they're doing drive-in comedy. We've heard of drive-in movies. What's happening at Comedy at the Carlson?
Well, I mean, obviously we are planning, you know, as far as everybody else goes, from disposables to, you know, getting everything, you know, as far as inside goes. But we teamed up with local restaurant Tony Dees, who's been teaming up with a lot of companies that have been donating money and serving doctors and nursing staff at, you know, the COVID front lines of all these hospitals that these, you know, these heroes are going into every night. So we, you know, Tony Dees has been doing this thing. So we said, you know what, let's have a comedy show in the parking lot. We have this ginormous parking lot out here. You know, we'll ask everybody to stay in their cars with their windows up. We'll put a stage outside. And so we don't disturb the neighbors, we'll just do an FM broadcast through everyone's car stereo, kind of like if you went to like a eclectic Christmas light display and they have, you know, tuned
yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's actually where we got the idea from. And we were text messaging. There's a group text message with a bunch of us, and we said, you know, let's do it. So we threw this thing together, and we didn't think anybody was actually going to show. You know, we planned for maybe 60 cars, but 100 cars showed up, you know, with like probably 2 to 3 people a car. So we figured like it was like 250 people actually showed up in this safe environment where we had the car spaced appropriately. Windows were up. Nobody touched anything. Everybody was wearing masks. I had a security team and a parking lot team, you know, walking around through the lot, making sure that everybody stayed in their cars and, you know, that nobody was touching anybody and everybody was, you know, socially distanced. And we all looked at each other tonight. We're like, you know, 250 people, this might have been the largest gathering that's happening in the world at the moment. And, you know, we're all kind of like, we're tripped out. We're like, oh my God, you're right. And it kind of went viral. The Auburn Drive-In Theater actually hired our comedians that were on that. They called us up. They're like, hey, you know, we love the idea. We're going to do a comedy show in our parking lot. So they're going to do it there. And then I have an actual restaurant chain, very large, I can't say their name yet, that called us up that want to duplicate it in all of their locations all around the country. So it really worked out pretty cool. And we did it for a good cause.
But Mark, going forward here, can you make money doing it this way? I mean, because what we'll do as we go throughout the hour here, we'll also talk about what's going to happen indoors, because eventually we will see a green light with some restrictions probably in indoor settings, and we'll talk about that coming up here. But can you keep doing this? Can you get people to pay? What are your thoughts there?
Well, the ultimate goal is, and I'm sure everybody that's on that we'll be talking to, is to focus on reopening indoors. A lot of companies, distributed companies, have geared towards helping restaurants out. Like, we just ordered all of our temperature guns so we can, you know, make sure that no one that has a temperature gets into the place without touching them. You know, everything from disposable, everything to sanitizer. We have all of that ready to go, and I'm sure everybody else is, you know, planning for that as well. But until then, we have to adapt. You have to be creative. And, you know, we're swimmers. We're ideas. You know, we're dreamers that like to make our ideas come true. So we are actually doing it again. We're not serving any alcohol outside, and we're not serving any food outside because we don't want to make it, you know, we don't want that kind of aspect. We want everyone to feel 100% safe there. So we're doing it. We're going to do more events where you have to purchase the tickets online and ahead of time, or you just won't. There's no box office, so there's no exchange of cash. There's no exchange of a ticket of any kind. So there's no touch. As far as monetizing it to where we are, that's definitely not going to happen until we're at 100% capacity and open again. But what it's doing right now, it's giving us hope. It's giving people hope. And at the same time, we're also raising money for a lot of charities here in the city, and we're going to keep doing that. We're going to keep doing it for other people. And that's what's kind of been the fire burning this engine and moving forward.
Mark, in non-pandemic times, what's your capacity indoors for comedy sets?
Our capacity is actually 350, but in the city of Rochester, you have to include staff. So we have 325 seats.
Okay. Let me turn to Suzanne Hunt, who is a co-owner of Hunt Country Vineyards down in Branchport, and you know, a historic property there. You've had, you do tastings, you do different events, you do tours. What's changed? I mean, what's going on right now? And then kind of why don't you describe the typical indoor setup for customers and then maybe what you're thinking about what's changing?
Well, what's changed is we're not allowed to have the tasting room be open for customers, so that's quite a big change. But my parents and our team had been working for a long, long time navigating all the red tape and permits to be able to ship our wine to customers in other states, and we can ship anywhere in New York. So instead of selling 80% of our wine out of the tasting room and the other 20%, shipping it and through the wholesale market, that flipped. And so we've been selling the large majority of our wine directly to customers by shipping it. And we also set up curbside. So we've also had a number of folks coming up and our staff, they call, they give their order and credit card, and then our staff put the wine right in their trunk. And so our whole sales channels, our major sales channels have flipped. So I'm going forward. So normally, if you haven't been to our winery, we have a large tasting room. There's a wing that was a cafe. We're not going to do a cafe this year. That's now retail gift space. And then we have a big outdoor deck. And then one of the advantages that we have is that we are a farm. So we're a working farm. And so we're going to try to play to our strengths and use that space to allow guests to go for walks and really have a number of very spaced out places where when we can start up tastings again, we'll do that by appointment only. And so folks, when they do take their mask off to taste, they'll be spaced out from other visitors.
When you think about flipping that business model currently, I'm curious, you know, Suzanne, I mean, I talked to the owner of a wine shop in Rochester who said, so far, in the last couple of months, it's been like every month is like December. It's like Christmas. It's like holiday time. We're selling more. You know, and I don't know if that's true for wineries, though. I mean, I know you flipped the model, but are you seeing numbers at least sustained where, you know, you're getting by or doing better or a little worse? I mean, how are things going?
Well, so normally February, March, April are the slowest months of the year. so you expect your sales to be pretty low.
Mm-hmm.
And because folks were stuck at home and they weren't drinking at bars and restaurants, I think they were ordering more wine. And also, we caught an amazing show of support from customers and friends and colleagues. And so we actually saw quite a lot of orders. And so sales were actually better than they normally would be in those normally slow months. So the scary thing is able to, you know, do any events this year off-site, on-site, if we're not able to host, you know, if we're only hosting a small fraction of the customers that we normally would in the high season, that's hard to make up for with shipping to folks that we already know. Because you always, every year you have to count on new folks discovering you as you get attrition. So the flip side of that is that the benefit is that while we won't be able to host as many people, we'll be able to have much higher quality visits. So you'll have one-on-one time with the staff. You won't have to worry about crowds. You won't have to worry about waiting. I mean, that's definitely been the benefit, is that we've gotten to spend more time with our customers. We've gotten to get to know them better. Folks call and spend time on the phone with us. We've surveyed our customers to find out how they're doing, what they're looking for, what they need. So it's been really up and down. It's really been, you know, all of the negatives that everyone knows about, but then all of these interesting positives as well.
Well, let me turn to Jenna and Pete Morgani, the owners of Tree Town Cafe. And Jenna and Pete, tell us a little bit about what you are and what you do. I'll start with you, Jenna, and then maybe Pete, you can fill in some of the details. Tell us how long Tree Town's been there and what your mission is.
Yeah, so interestingly enough, we just celebrated our one-year anniversary, our birthday, May 4th. And we started off with a big dream of having a coffee shop someday, and a location opened up just in our neighborhood in Brighton, I'm sorry. And, you know, we started off with our goals as a small coffee shop with baked goods and, you know, a lot of just homemade stuff and just market items. And we did that, you know, from when we opened March or May 4th up until all of this took place. And our, you know, the first week of everything that took place with the pandemic, we weren't really sure where to go from there. You know, we talked to our employees, just letting them know, you know, we weren't really sure if we were going to be able to keep going as a whole group or if my husband and I would just have to take over. We just really weren't sure. And within the first couple of days to the first week of everything, we decided to stay open. And we went window side. Basically, we needed to start off getting just a little tent to put over our window so customers just could come up and, you know, be a little covered from the elements. And from there, we borrowed a tent from a family member, and they were like, well, why don't you do a little market outside while you're at it and, you know, bring some of your stuff outside. And we really weren't sure if that was a great idea, but what kind of evolved was in conversations, we talked to a lot of our local businesses that we work with or that we know, and we realized that they were struggling just as much as we possibly could be. And we just started saying, like, hey, do you want to let just link arms? Why don't you bring some of your baked goods over? You know, we talked to Baker Street. How about Baker Street? You bring your baked goods over, and we'll shut down our baker right now. And we'll keep it simple on our end and give some business to you. And then we ended up talking to my cousin who owns Bottom Line Wholesale Produce in the market. And, you know, we usually get some of our produce from him. And he had been struggling because he's not, you know, supplying to all the restaurants right now. And so we said, why don't you bring some produce over? And long story short, it evolved into this outdoor market. And right now we're still serving our cafe food and all of our coffee and everything from inside, you know, window side. But we've gotten more tents and more businesses to kind of partner up with. And we have this kind of really cool outdoor market right now that has literally just evolved from community small businesses just joining together. And so we are carrying everything from a full stocked line of produce every day to fresh breads from Baker Street, cookies. We have local honey from Brighton, and we have maple syrup from Brighton, and things that you could just not have to go to maybe a bigger supermarket and just be able to shop outdoors and feel a little safer. We have Flower City pasta. We join with them. Guguamo sauce. And we just kind of, the ball started rolling as I personally was thinking, like, what are some things that I wish I didn't have to go to the store for and could, you know, shop really safely. And so basically we've kind of created this market with our locals and, you know, All Linked Arms, and are providing a service to our community. Just being outside, we have masks. People are wearing their masks, staying 6 feet apart. We provide gloves for everyone to shop with. It's kind of mandatory to come shop with gloves just to protect yourself and each other and feel really safe. But basically, it's just been really good for some of us just to be able to be outside, you know, to be serving our customers, but getting, you know, vitamin D and fresh air together, but still being able to see each other from a distance and, you know, see our community and support our community that way.
It's so smart. And but Pete, is this a temporary thing, or are you looking around and going, maybe we should have been doing this all along?
Well, you know, it's interesting. That's a question that we are processing and digesting pretty much every day as we just look and see. I think, you know, the coolest thing has just been being small enough and just creative enough to be able to roll with the punches and just kind of figure out what's working and what's not working. And our basic business model to begin with was to be a cafe, bakery, and market. And so we had the cafe and bakery part really launched, and we had a real small scale market going where we sold some basic retail items, you know, our coffee and other things that you could buy through our shop. But we really hadn't implemented the third phase of the market aspect yet. And this situation has kind of forced us to do that, you know, and so it really pushed the market to the forefront of our business. And we don't see discontinuing it when things begin to normalize. Who knows what that timeline really is going to be. But we do plan to keep things going outside for as long as really the community can benefit from it. The two goals we had moving outside was to give people a safe space to shop and also to support local businesses that needed an outlet to be able to sell some of their products. And so as long as these businesses really can use and benefit because they can't operate at 100% capacity, and as long as the community can shop safely outdoors, you know, that's our plan. You know, we want to continue to evolve and make it, you know, more functional and things like that. But we do envision in the long term moving indoors. The interesting thing is we were just about to take on a remodel project to expand our indoor space to include retail items. And we were trying to figure out how to do that with having customers in the shop. And fortunately, we don't have customers in the shop right now. So we're working inside right now to try to get our space set up to accommodate more of a market type setting. But again, right now, we just want to keep people safe. And so we know, you know, with what the government is saying, what the CDC is saying, is that outdoor shopping is safe compared to going inside. So that's, for now, for the temporary situation, yeah, we're going to keep it going. And I do think we're going to continue to move forward with selling, you know, a lot of this retail market items inside the shop as
sure.
Things become safe.
So necessity really is the mother of invention. And I think our listeners are hearing that this hour. And so what I want to stress to listeners is, In the next few weeks especially, but really as we go through all phases of reopening, I want to hear from the community. I want to hear what you're seeing, whether you're a small business owner, a customer, who's doing things a little differently, who's working to reach you, to make you feel safe, but to make you feel still excited about coming out. Are spaces moving more outdoors and utilizing more space in different ways? After our only break of the hour, Gino Finelli is going to talk about what restaurants are doing. And you know, he's had conversations not only with restaurant owners, but with the city of Rochester, comparing that with what's happening in other cities. So you've got a sense for this creative mindset that business owners are in. And the team at Treetown Cafe is finding people want to go shopping at a market outdoors, and they've taken advantage. The team at Hunt Country in the Finger Lakes, like so many others in the winery business, are going to utilize the space. As Suzanne says, use your strength. You got a lot of outdoor space. Make people feel comfortable. Make it appointment only. Space it out. Make it intimate and let them feel that. Mark Ippolito with Comedy at the Carlson. Right now, what people want is the sense that they can go out again and go to a show. And they figured out a way to do that outdoors. I mean, there's a lot of creativity going on. But in our second half hour, we're going to talk about what restaurants are doing. And then I'm going to ask our guests on the phone, what do you envision this year for your indoor space? And when, maybe, you know, realistically. So we'll talk about all that and much more coming up on Connections. Coming up in our second hour, the Democratic candidates for state Senate in the 56th District debate on Connections. You'll hear from Hilda Rosario Escher, Sherita Trawick, and Jeremy Cooney. Three candidates on the ballot on June 23rd. Maybe you've already gotten your application for absentee ballots. We're going to see a lot of mail-in. Before June 23rd, we aim to have many of the candidates on Connections for you to hear them before you vote. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. To be clear on our guests on the phone, Treetown Cafe, are you guys, if you were open, if wanted to be open indoor, are you in the essential or the phase one category? I mean, are you sort of green-lighted to be doing what you want to be doing right now?
Yeah, we are... We are zoned as we actually have a special use variance to our property. We had to apply for it last year to get it. And what's interesting is that it was almost necessary for us to include in our zoning application that we would be a market because that's what the community really wanted. So, yeah, we're zoned as a market to sell grocery items. So that is what allowed us to be labeled essential.
Gotcha. Okay. And again, listeners, connections at WXXI.org. If you want to send us notes on what you're seeing around the community, who's kind of preparing in different ways, who may be already open based on different phases. So that's phase one. Suzanne Hunt down at Hunt Country Vineyards, phase three, correct?
Yeah. Wineries, tasting rooms, and bars for phase three.
Phase three. And Mark Ippolito, does that mean Comedy at the Carlson is also phase three?
Well, see, that's what we need a little clarity through, like, the state organizations or even the Monroe County Department of Health, because phase three is bars and restaurants, and we have a bar and restaurant license. We pay bar and restaurant insurance. All of our, you know, permits are bar and restaurant, but entertainment is actually phase four. So we're still waiting on our clarity on which phase we're in.
Okay, interesting. And Gino Finelli, reporter for City Newspaper, has been focusing on his recent piece, which we'll post for you on our various platforms, about what restaurants are looking at. Again, phase three. And if you join us tonight at 8 p.m. on WXXI-TV, you're going to hear Bob Duffy, Adam Bello, Dr. Michael Mendoza, among others, talking about phased reopenings. We're currently in phase one. We've been in phase one for 6 days now. Probably the fastest we get into phase two is another, 10 days, 14 days. Who knows? I mean, a couple more weeks, we get a little bit of data. Maybe you move into phase two. Within a month, you could be in phase three restaurants. And so they've got some planning to do. What do you, is there an overarching theme that you found, Gino, or is it really kind of place by place that you experience?
Well, I think to start off, I think there's a lot of uncertainty right now. And having talked to the city, they don't have any clear guidance yet. It isn't an initial thing that's on the plans of what restaurants can be allowed to do. But what is generally expected is that capacity indoors is going to be limited. We're seeing in other parts of the country that are reopening that indoor seating is being limited about 25% capacity in a lot of places. That means that, you know, for a business like a restaurant that already operates on a pretty thin margin, that is not enough. You're going to have to do something else to be able to get people to be customers. And part of that is having more outdoor seating. And that seems to be a resounding trend that I'm hearing from a lot of restaurants that I've talked to is we can expand on sidewalk seating. And they hope that the city waives fees for sidewalk cafes. They're hoping that they could use, you know, street side parking to, you know, set up tables. There's a model that they're looking at from Vilnius, Lithuania, the capital of Lithuania. That city has adopted a model where they're closing down streets and using them as basically outdoor cafes and, you know, closing them to cars and just letting it be pedestrian space where people can sit down and eat. And now we're seeing that places like Tampa, Florida or Cincinnati are also adopting similar policies where they're closing down streets to be used as dining spaces.
Some leaders in the city, Justin Roy, communications director, indicated to you they're going to look at that. They want to make sure if they make these changes that they are equitable, that they can be applied pretty broadly, right?
Yeah, and right now it's a thing where everything's on the table. Anything can be done, and they're looking at all the options that they have right now. But yeah, no one wants for Park Avenue to be a place where you can set up a table on the street and, you know, have dining there, while Genesee Street, where the restaurants are there, they can't do that. So it has to be something where every neighborhood has an opportunity to be involved in this. And that's something that has to be explored as those policies move forward.
Do you get the sense that restaurant owners feel that the relationship with governments, local governments, is pretty open right now? I mean, is it an open conversation? Because when you bring up, for example, just the fees for outdoor seating, I remember 15 years ago doing reporting on State Street when Obegalos was open down there right next to the pizza stop, and just getting a table on the sidewalk was sort of a pain at times with the fees and permits and everything. Are they hopeful that we're going to see at least a little bit of a relaxing or pulling back of some of those regulations?
Yeah, most of the people I spoke to feel that government is working with them and being pretty open, and, you know, wanting to make sure that they're able to survive in the long run. And to be honest here, you know, all the creative solutions people are finding to operate their businesses right now are great and they're amazing to watch. But at the end of the day, they're there because if you don't do something creative, you're going to lose a lot of business. So the city, it seems to be working with restaurants and businesses to find ways to keep them on their feet through all this.
And you talked to Tap and Mallet, where Joe McBain was talking about, maybe kind of going outdoors more, maybe expanding the restaurant's parking lot. But you can't just do, even once we get to phase three, he can't just do that. He has to have, as you write, approval from the state liquor authority there,
yep.
Right?
Yeah, and the liquor authority has been pretty lenient on a lot of things throughout all this. You can get a cocktail takeout from a bar right now. You can get beer shipped in the mail right now, which is great for me. there's a lot of options for things you can do that the liquor authority is allowing that they didn't do before. So I think he was in the sense that, you know, this probably won't be that big of a challenge, but it's still something they have to look at. These regulations still exist, and you have to follow the law.
But if that law can be either relaxed or amended for a short while, you write about Blue Wolf Bistro as just an example of a Park Ave space. If they get a green light, they could put 30 sidewalk tables and an additional tables right in the middle of the street, and it sounds like they are ready to do that once they get the thumbs up.
Yeah, it seems like they have the ability to, if they can do it, they'll do the basically street side parking, just turn that into table space. And there's a lot of, you know, if you follow like the Twitter sphere of people conversations, they want like Park Ave turned into a one way street that they could use, street side parking on, use those spaces.
Right.
You know, is that realistic? Maybe. No one's quite sure yet. But yeah, I mean, restaurants, if they're given the opportunity to do what they want to do, they're going to do it. There's a lot of creative ways to run a restaurant, and most of the thing that burdens them in regular times is our regulations and what they're allowed to do.
So let me turn back to the business owners who are with us to respond to some of those themes here, because number one, it's getting the green light to be a little creative. And number two, it's is your clientele comfortable coming out in different ways? So, Mark, I'll start with you. I mean, if you're meeting behind closed doors with leaders in government, is there anything that you need that is different than normal, a clear path to do things a different way? Is it just moving into phase three instead of four? What's on your mind now?
Well, it is obviously we want phase three, you know, to be part of that group. So that would be the first thing. But, you know, going back to what you just said is, like, are people going to feel comfortable going out? I think we found this past weekend that the answer to that is yes. We had people rolling down their window saying, thank you so much, we needed to get out of the house. You know, it was, you could tell that people just wanted to have something to do. And we all looked at each other. We were like, we just had 97 cars with like three people in each car. Has there been a bigger, safer gathering like this anywhere? Does anybody know?
But that's not the same as putting them inside, Mark.
No, it's definitely not. I mean, you think about the performers performing on a stage, not hearing applause, not hearing laughter. We wanted to be very respectful of the neighbors, so we just asked people to flash their lights and not honk their horns. For, you know, if they wanted to show, like they enjoyed a joke. And, it's definitely, definitely different, but we all have to adapt right now. We're all in this together, and we're you know, like I said before, we're swimmers, we're not sinkers, so we're going to keep moving forward.
Okay. Suzanne Hunt at Hunt Country Vineyards, is there anything that you would need or are hoping for in terms of, you know, maybe doing things a little differently or looking at regulations? Is there anything that stands out?
Yeah, so I mean, one of the things we've been thinking a lot about and working on is new partnerships with local businesses and new ways to reach customers and get wine and the other things that we sell to customers. So already the New York State government has been really helpful and has gotten back to us really quickly when we asked, because alcohol is such a restricted, sales are so carefully controlled and highly regulated. We can't just do these pop-up. We can't do pop-up markets, right? We have to be. We have to work within some pretty strict laws. So we need the state's quick responses on, you know, all of our new ideas of ways to reach customers, and we need flexibility in being able to develop new partnerships to be able to work with other farms, with other local businesses, maybe do creative marketing and sales and outreach that wasn't allowed in the past. But I think what we're discovering is that a lot of things really do work and can work. And so hopefully some of these changes and experiments and things that folks are innovating will become permanent. And I think, you know, I think the flexibility and responsiveness from the government is the most important thing.
When you have the green light, when phase three comes and your tasting room can be reopened, what do you expect it to look like? Do you expect people, I mean, I think you mentioned it, is you're going to make it by appointment, but, you know, do you think people will be largely comfortable? Are you just going to communicate enough with them to say, you know, that you understand maybe some of the concerns, but you're going to try to address them with spacing and masking, et cetera?
Well, we've, you know, being forced to be closed for such a long period of time, we finally had time to do all these enhancements. So it's going to look gorgeous. Evan, as you know, I do clean tech consulting. So as soon as we were forced to shut down and I saw a bunch of local artist friends losing business, I just plowed all of my consulting income into paying local artisans to do metalwork.
Oh, cool.
And so it looks gorgeous. I think we get such a diverse mix of folks coming. People are going to have completely different comfort levels. Our, you know, even among our staff, they have different comfort levels.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, we've been, and my husband Matt has been meticulously reading all of the state guidance, all of the industry guidance, all the medical advice and protocols. And so we're going to have sanitation protocols, checklists for the staff, and we've already got pulse oximeters because taking your blood oxygen level seems more accurate than temperature readings. So we have, I think we're going to do everything we possibly can to make people feel comfortable. And I imagine some people are going to be just dying to get out and raring to go, and other folks are going to take a good long time before they go back out.
Sure.
And come and visit.
And before I jump back to Jenna and Pete, real briefly, Suzanne, do you feel that once we get to phase 2, 3, 4, that with what looks like a broader range of options for testing, that your employees will want to or will have the chance to get tested, which doesn't predict future infections, but even having that, you know, every 2 weeks getting tested may make people's mindsets feel a little different. What do you think, Suzanne?
Do I think they'll want to get tested?
Yeah.
Or do I think that? Absolutely. I mean, I think we're already planning on creating, you know, temperature and blood oxygen level baselines, just testing everybody every day they come in to get their kind of what is their standard baseline.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as the actual COVID-19 tests are available, we absolutely want to get everyone tested because, you know, we're a small family business. We don't have a huge team. If obviously we don't want anyone to get sick, but if someone, even when someone just has, you know, regular virus, we're a tiny team, so we can't afford to have, you know, half the staff sick.
Yeah.
We also have a lot of, you know, very part-time seasonal folks that work on the tasting bar who do it because they love it. They're retired teachers, executives, and, you know, they're in that high risk fruit. So we have to be extremely thoughtful about how we keep the visitors and our staff safe.
Yeah. Mark, can you see your staff getting tested with any regularity?
Oh, absolutely. If that's what it takes, that's what it takes. We like I said, we've already purchased a ton of stuff for our staff to make sure that they're completely safe, for our guests to be make sure they're completely safe. And whatever the regulations are, we are going to comply. And, you know, that's like what she just said. Safety is number one above anything.
Yeah. And Jenna and Pete Morganti at Tree Town Cafe, you know, in about 90 seconds or less, can you describe for us, have you learned, you know, lessons about the mindset of customers right now? Are people, you know, itching to get out but still hesitant? I mean, what are you learning on a day-to-day and week-to-week basis now that you have this sort of out, you know, this outdoor market open?
Yeah, I think we get a definite mix of people who are extra cautious and people who are a little bit more lax. But what I found is that everybody's working together. And so everyone is, you know, coming wearing masks, making sure that they're being respectful, saying that, you know, that 6 foot distance. What I've heard a lot of is, you know, that thank you for doing this. I feel really safe right now. Thank you. You know, I'm immune compromised. I feel really comfortable coming. I had someone call and say, hey, I'm bringing my elderly mother because I feel really safe as, you know, I'm coming and I feel really safe bringing her just to get out of the house and shop. And so I feel like people are cautious, but they do feel comfortable and, when they don't feel comfortable, you know, and so.
We lost you for a second there, Jenna, but let me just, I'll just jump in and say, I think to picking up on Jenna's point, I sense how grateful people are. I feel grateful when I check out at a grocery store to every worker there, and I try to say it.
Yeah.
I try to say it at the wine shop when I pull up on the curb and the box is waiting for me, and all I got to do is open the trunk. My guess is the team at Hunt Country is used to that, hearing from people going, well, I never expected to have this kind of relationship with you, but it's Friday afternoon and the trunk's open. You know, I mean, it's different relationships. Mark Ippolito found that out at Comedy at the Carlson when people said, thank you for at least giving us a show to go to. Thank you for being there in a way that, you know, we didn't even think about a couple of months ago. And so that's what this is about going forward. It's creative, supporting businesses, doing it safely, and asking them to make sure they're communicating with us what they're doing to keep us as customers safe. Gino, for you as restaurants, what's the next story to follow here? I mean, is it the timeline of opening? Is it who can stay open, the margins? I mean, what story are you going to look to right next year?
Well, the story that I'm working on currently is a little bit more bleak, and it's the businesses that are not surviving right now. And there's a lot of them. There are a lot of businesses that are in the city and, you know, across the country. Anywhere you look, they are not going to make it through this. And that's a reality that we're going to have to address. And it's tough that how could we have saved those businesses? What could we have done differently to, you know, get them to survive? No one has answers for that. And I think the next step in reporting on this specific issue is seeing what the guidance is. And as a journalist, you're always looking for, you know, government to provide concrete answers to the questions you're asking. And what's tough right now is there are no concrete answers. There is no no concrete guidance of where things are headed from here. So I would say the story that I did recently that on the restaurants was more of a it was a preface to stories there to come of what's really going to happen, not just a thought piece of what could happen.
Yeah, it's a great point, and I appreciate that. And the great work that City Newspaper is doing is they've transitioned online, but the work is still there, and I hope our listeners are finding it. Thank you, by the way, for a great piece, and we look forward to more from you, Gino.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Mark Ippolito, we know where to find you at Comedy at the Carlson, and we'll see what phase you end up in. But in the meantime, if people want to kind of stay engaged, where can they do that with you, Mark?
They can like our Facebook page, or actually right now you can go to Carlson, you can go to carlsoncomedy.com, and you can purchase tickets for our next event that's in 2 weeks. The ticket money that's left over after expenses is all going to be donated to local charities. It's Jimmy Schubert from L.A. He's flying out here, and he's going to do our parking lot show.
Wow, so. Doing a parking lot show at Comedy at the Carlson. Jenna and Pete Morgani have been open a year at Tree Town. Where are you? Where's Tree Town Cafe?
Yeah, it's located on 745 Penfield Road. It's in between the Corbett Glen hiking trail and the Ellison Park hiking trail. We're right in the neighborhood, off the side of the road, tucked in. And you can find our outdoor market. We have all sorts of food. We have hand sanitizer, masks. We even have plants and flowers going right now and lots of produce every day. So Come on over anytime. We also have our cafe food and drink going on inside, and you can do window side pickup.
Good luck to you guys. Suzanne Hunt, if you want to order online, where do you find you?
You go to huntwines.com to order. And for folks that want to know, you know, what other things, wine, what else are we selling? Juices and cheeses and
10 seconds.
And
you got to hurry.
Sign up for our email. We send one email a week. You just go to the homepage at huntwines.com.
All right, thanks, everybody.